Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, and welcome to Let's Talk TV Live. Welcome, everyone. I'm your host, Barbara Barnett. I'm executive editor of Blog Critics Magazine and publisher and editor-in-chief of Let's Talk TV, which is at letstalktv.barbarabarnett.com. So I want to remind you guys before I bring on our guest that our show is sponsored in part by Wireless One Marketing. Call Wireless One Marketing Group today at 847-637-2514 for a free demo of their wonderful, very affordable apps. By the way, they created the Let's Talk TV app, which you can download at iTunes or at play.google.com, or you can just scan the QR code on my site, which is at letstalktv.barbarabarnett.com. Any business can have its own mobile app for a very affordable cost, and you should do it. It improves sales, service, and customers' overall experience. You can have a shop. You can do whatever. Hey, our heart, I see you in there. Wireless One is here to help. Call them for let them build you a beautiful app. It takes no time at all. I was stunned at how little time it took for them to put my app together, just a few days and a couple of weeks, and we were on iTunes. Anyway, call them today at 847-637-2514 or visit their website at www.app2020.com. That is www.app.2020.com. So tonight we have a special show. We are going to be welcoming in just a few minutes James D. and Dave Mattia. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Dave, and you'll correct me when you come on. As you guys may know, we are friends of web series that happen to cross our paths. We are friends of the Husbands web series, which is Jane Espenson's great, wonderful, and highly successful Husbands web series. And Jane was on a couple weeks ago, talked about that a little bit. But James D. and Dave have a web series called Have You Heard Miss Jones? And it is a great, funny, delightful 10-episode web series. And we're going to talk about that in a little while, and I'll bring them on. I'll let them tell you in their own words. But coming up on Let's Talk TV, tomorrow night we have our usual House rewatch episode. So tune in for a chat about the great House episode, Maternity. We're on the first season. And then later this month, on the last Tuesday night of the month, we're going to bring on Andrew Holtz, who wrote the book The Medical Science of House, as well as another book on the show that looks at the medical side of it. And we're going to talk about House. He's been a CNN correspondent on medicine, and it should be great fun to talk to Andrew. We connected online. He follows me. I follow him. And it'd be a lot of fun to have him. I thought it'd be a lot of fun to have him on the House rewatch. Next Monday, we'll be talking mostly about Once Upon a Time and a little Elementary. We're going to talk somewhat about the pilot season tonight, but we'll talk more about it next week. And then the following week, we will focus on the much-anticipated Once Upon a Time episode, Manhattan, and the return of, we don't know, the return of Neil Cassidy, who is going to be appearing in that episode, I know. Speaking of Once Upon a Time, I did a print version of the interview that I did with Jane Espenson a couple weeks ago, where she talks about, in addition to talking about Husbands, she also talks about Once Upon a Time and gives a few teases. So if you didn't catch it on the air, take a look at the highlights print version article that I did. It's up on Blog Critics, and it is also up on Let's Talk TV Live. And don't forget, if you like the website, Let's Talk TV, please subscribe, please tell your friends, please spread the word. It's growing, growing, growing every single day. Same thing with the show. Please make sure you follow us, subscribe to our feed, get the app so you don't miss another moment of this show. Later this month, I will be having on the Monday show Wally Podrazek from the Museum of Broadcast Communication here in lovely, snowy Chicago. Yay, we finally have snow here. First time this year. We're going to talk about the Great Medical Series, so that should be a lot of fun. So we're going to bring on James D. and Dave right now, the creators of this wild and slightly strange web series, Have You Met Miss Jones? And hang on a second, and they are in the green room. James, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay, hang on. And Dave, are you with me?
Good evening, Barbara.
Good evening. I hope the green room was to your satisfaction, the champagne.
Oh, it's lovely. It's fabulous.
The white roses. I mean, you know,
beautiful.
I try to set a very comforting vibe here.
I love the blueberries and the champagne. It was delightful.
Excellent.
I thought it was in Monaco.
Oh, yeah. You know, I have the Piper in there and, you know, and the blueberries. Got to have blueberries. They're very good.
Nothing but antioxidants before you go on the air.
You got to have those antioxidants,
yes.
Right. Next time it'll be pomegranate arils, which are great too. Anyway, so congratulations on your web series. It is great fun to watch. And if you haven't, if you haven't seen it, where can they find it?
They could go straight to Blip TV. Let's just go blip.tv/Miss Jones.
Okay, great. So.
Yep.
It's a lot of fun. So tell us about it. Tell the audience about it, what the premise is, and what it's all about.
Go ahead, Dave.
Okay. The basic premise of Have You Met Miss Jones is that James and I were experimenting with characters because James likes to invent characters, and for the most part, they're pretty funny. But one day I noticed that he invented a character that instantly made me laugh without saying anything. And it was this female character, which was totally, you know, antithetical to anything I knew about James prior to that, because we'd been friends for a lot of years. And I thought it was hysterically funny. And I said, you know, maybe we stumbled upon something there. And the moment I saw him with a wig and makeup, I said, if somebody professional were to put this wig and this makeup on him, we might have something. And that's kind of where we started, and we kind of wove this idea together, put our heads together, and we came up with this kooky concept of, what if, you know, I created a character and that he's essentially, that James DiGiacomo essentially created, and we weave a life story around her. And that's how we did it. He'd thrown dozens of characters at me before, and none of them really got me, but this one did. And I said, let's see if we can make a story and a show. And I don't know how it happened, but it just did, and everything turned out right. And it was an incredible. It was a little adventure that was really interesting for both of us.
So, you know, the idea of a female character played by a man, I mean, goes back to, I mean, the Pythons, of course, famous, right?
Right?
And British TV is filled with great comedic characters.
Dame Edna, Australian, uh-huh.
Right, Dame Edna, and on a bit of Fry and Laurie, Hugh Laurie and Stephen Fry constantly playing female characters.
Right, or even on Little Britain, which is something a little more
Britain,
recent.
Right. But not so much on American TV.
Right, exactly.
Although Saturday Night Live, I mean, for sure on Saturday Night Live.
Right.
So, you know, that was kind of unusual. So why a web series?
Well, honestly, when we first shot it, we actually shot it as a pilot. And we shot a whole 30-minute pilot with the cast and everything. And, you know, being two little guys that really don't have major connections, I figured, you know, why don't we chop this up into 10 little webisodes where, you know, people can watch in little increments on their phone or iPad, whatever, and see if we can create any kind of a buzz or a following, and hopefully, you know, the gods in Hollywood maybe will take notice and, you know, give us a shot at making a series go to, you know, a major cable network.
Cool.
So,
how is it? A couple of questions. One, how do you finance something like this, to create something like this? I mean, you have a pretty neat cast.
Yeah, well, I mean, go ahead.
Go ahead, James.
Well, basically, you know, we both figured out, you know, let's see what we can do with the script. And we shopped it around, and, you know, we got an amazing casting director on board. Ricky Masler was enthused. She loved the project. She's actually more known for being a major motion picture casting director. And she said she's always wanted to, you know, kind of do more television. And she saw our script as maybe an opportunity to be able to branch out and see this go through and become a television series. So she basically kind of started telling me some of the contacts and friends she had. And little by little, I started to get all these little names that were popping up. And I said, you know what? I mean, I initially kind of had an investor that was interested, and then I talked to Dave, and we both just decided to bite the bullet and say, you know what, we really believe in this project, and we're going to put our money where our mouth is and actually fund it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, you know, and I've been a struggling actor for the last 10 years, so, you know, I don't have money falling out of my pockets or anything, but I really believed in this, and I didn't really want to have to share it with somebody that I didn't know, you know? So that's basically how it all happened. And then, you know, I mean, we've known Patty for many years, who plays my mother, Connie.
Mm-hmm.
Dave and I actually have known her for, I think, about 11 years now. And we bumped into her basically in Hollywood. And one of the things that we said to her was, God, we'd love to work with you one day and write something that, you know, you could be in. And lo and behold, 11 years later, we made that happen. So...
Cool.
I've been a huge Patty fan for years, and the fact that she predates me substantially, I shouldn't know who she is. But when I ran into her with James, we were shopping, and we ran into her, and it was an instant connection we made, and we stayed friends with her for years and years.
Yep.
And when the show became ready to be cast, it was an obvious choice. We had to ask Patty. We had to ask her, and of course, she didn't say yes instantly, but I got the sense of an instant yes. And she put it through her people, and they loved the whole concept. And, you know, that's how we got Patty McCormick.
That's really cool. And then you also have Dot from Glee.
Yep, Dot. Yeah,
that was James's job.
That's
cool. That was actually through our casting director, Ricky Masler, was gracious enough to send her the script. And she read it and loved it, and when she showed up on set, you know, she kind of, we were talking, her and I, and she said she gets so many different scripts every day, and
sure,
it's pretty much kind of playing the same kind of character over and over, and what drew her to this was not just the great writing, she said, but it was also the fact that she got to play a fun character, and, you know, so I was kind of flattered by that. And then Art LaFleur actually came in, he just had a little cameo, and, you know, ironically enough, he actually came in to audition for a different part and actually came in for a double D, which, you know, wasn't really where we were looking to go as far as look-wise. But I just fell in love with him in the audition room, and I told the casting director, I said, I know Limo Lou only has like a couple of lines in this episode, but I promise you, if Art LaFleur takes this role, we will develop his character and make him a series regular. And, you know, he's going to kind of be like Connie's bitch on the side. I don't know if I'll say that on the radio show here.
I didn't know that you fell in love with Art LaFleur.
Well, not
I
like
know
that.
About that. putting a whole new slant on it.
True. He's such a recognizable character.
Oh, God.
He's a great
amazing
guy.
Oh, such a great guy.
I really enjoyed speaking. I arrived on the set about 20 minutes late the day that he was shooting. And he was so enthusiastic to meet me, and I couldn't understand why. And Patty said, come over, you have to meet Art, you have to meet Art. And he wanted to meet me because I referenced Troy Donahue in the script. Now, how does a guy my age know Troy Donahue? You know, I shouldn't know that. But I'm one of those people who kind of references things that predate me. And he said, oh, Troy was a great friend of mine, and I really appreciate this. This is really fun. And it was strange to watch these people. They couldn't understand how I would reference something from their era and their time. And that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
So have you gotten any nibbles about, you know, coming onto cable?
Well, I mean, I don't want to leave out real quick. We have James Kyson, who plays Jacob. He actually was on the show Heroes. He played Ando. Yeah. And he was amazing, and I was grateful. I actually can kind of, you know, pat myself on the back for getting him through social media, you know. And you got to be, especially if you're going to want to be in this business, you kind of have to be aggressive and you have to be a go-getter. And I actually, believe it or not, added him on LinkedIn, and he accepted me. Mm-hmm. And a few days later, I said, you know, I have this role that I think you'd be perfect for. Originally, we were just going to cast a white guy, and I like to, you know, kind of push against the envelope. And I'm like, well, why can't an Asian guy play the role? And so I you know, talked to Dave. Dave was all for it, said, you know, do what you want to do. And so I went after him, sent him the script, and he emailed me right back and said, oh, my God, this is hilarious. He's like, let's meet for dinner. And we talked, and then, you know, bada bing, bada boom, Ricky Masler made the deal happen. So,
wow, cool.
Yeah. So, but as back to your question, as far as any interest, we got like a couple tweets from Logo, and they asked us why our people haven't contacted them yet in regards to pitching the show. And, you know, unfortunately, we, Dave and I, don't have, you know, literary representation right now. I mean, this is kind of all just happening, mm-hmm. and little by little, things are snowballing. I have a potential meeting coming up with a manager who has a literary department sometime in the late this month or early next month in March. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But, you know, you got in this business, if you're not represented, it's like they don't even want to look at you.
Right. Same thing in the publishing industry.
Right. So that's what we're working on right now, is trying to, you know, we're just jumping up and down, waving our hands like, you know, two crazy people just trying to get noticed, and hopefully someone will see us on this deserted island that we're on of Have You Met Miss Jones, and hopefully, you know, we'll have representation some midway this year, I'm hoping by June. So, and then from that point on, hopefully the show gets sold and picked up, and we get to make many, many more episodes. I mean, we've already written, you know, the next, what are we on, episode 4 now?
Six.
Okay.
Six.
Okay.
Six.
So
you
know,
I do all the work,
season,
Barbara.
Huh?
He didn't know what episode we're on, and we're on episode 6, which proves that I do all the work around here.
See, that's true. Well, he does all the acting, so.
He does, yeah,
exactly.
Well, he does it so well.
It's not easy looking this good, Dave.
You've got almost a half a cable season written, so that's really great. That's really
great. Yeah, and they're full. Well, actually, when I say 6 episodes, they're full 30 minute length.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like half a cable season, which is like 13 episodes. So
I guess in the web series world, we technically have another 5 seasons after this.
You do,
yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
Right. You know, they're like 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
Right.
Minutes, you know, yeah.
And Angelina could have 2 marriages and be in and out of Betty Ford twice.
I want an annulment. We got to put an annulment in there somewhere.
Well, that's great. So it's a great show, and I hope people find it.
They can also follow us on Twitter at Miss Jones Show, and they can get, you know, the latest on what's going on and all that. I update it every day.
Can you repeat your Twitter handle?
Yeah, sure. It's at Miss Jones Show, MissJonesShow. A lot of S's in there.
Wow.
And then also on Facebook. You can like us on Facebook / Miss Jones Show as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to you guys. See, we found
Thank
each other
you.
On Twitter. You know, you were tweeting out to me. And
yeah, my intern, I think, actually tweeted your blog, and then someone there, I guess, forwarded to you, and then, you know, that's how the magic happened.
That was me. I'm executive editor at Blog Critic, so I
cool.
also have my own thing. So
we can pretend you have an assistant. They don't need to know.
You know, I wish. Well, we actually do have an associate, sort of an associate editor now. We do our own social media.
Right.
So it's like we're owned by Technorati, but we do our own social media. So
cool.
It's cool. Well, good luck, guys.
Thank you.
It's a great show. Everybody needs to check this out.
Blip.tv/Miss Jones.
Blip.tv/Miss Jones. All right. Well, great. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thank you, Barbara. You're like butter. I've always wanted to say that
so
to someone
much.
Named Barbara, and now I could.
See, you can call me Barbara. You know,
Barbara. Oh,
Barbara.
God, I'm getting verklempt. I'll give you a talk.
I'm so verklempt.
Oh, God.
That's about as good as a New York accent as I can do. Where's Betsy? We have a New Yorker who comes on the show all the time. Anyway, thanks, guys, and good luck, and keep me posted.
Will do, for sure.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you,
Barbara.
Have
okay,
a good
bye-bye.
One.
Night.
You
bye.
Too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so that was James D. and Dave from Have You Met Miss Jones? It is a great show. You should absolutely check it out. And we have a couple people on the line. I hope one of them is Jerome Wetzel.
Hi.
Hey, you're on Let's Talk TV Live. Who is this?
Zombie flies from the sea.
Hey, Zombie. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Meant to call in before, but I've been depressed these past 2 weeks.
Oh, no. Hang on 1 second. I'm going to bring, I hope, Jimmy. Hold on a second.
Oh, hang on.
Hang on. Hey,
hello.
James, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. We have somebody else on the line with us. It's Zombies from the Sea from the Gate World, gateworld.net forum. And so hang on, how you doing, James?
I'm good.
Good. And Zombies on, and so what's on your mind tonight, Zombie?
Well, there hasn't been much on the mind of TV. Friends just ended its run about a few weeks ago, and I forgot to tune into the finale.
I'm sorry, of which show?
Friends.
Okay.
And I heard that's a pretty bit of Friends. You know, they revisited the alternate reality, several people got closer from what I read. And it's been on and off of Friends for me, because they've been going into a direct sin of, you know, going to one place, try to get this item, then go to another place, try to get this item. It wasn't really appealing to me. The episode that was appealing to me in that season was when Peter got that device in his head that enabled him to be to have the powers of the Observer, and it was going to slowly take over him. I think that episode was awesome. The rest of the season, I don't think that much.
No, I completely agree with you. This final season of Fringe was just not up to snuff. The finale was pretty good, but up until then, yeah, the hunting for the items, it used to be so good, and it was definitely a step backwards.
I know. It's a thought sin that they reduced it to 13 seasons, you know, because if they expanded it to 22 seasons, then I don't know if Friends would have lasted, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if people have stuck around for the finale.
Well, you know, Fringe has got practically a new life now on Discovery Science, not Discovery Science, the Science Network.
I've heard about that.
Because they started in November with episode one, season one, but what they're doing is they're doing them with kind of an add-on, like extra show that really talks about some of the science of it and stuff like that. I mean, science is going to give it a whole new life, just like they did with Firefly. So, you know, who knows? Maybe there'll be more of Fringe and better, you know, than on Fox.
Yeah.
As we come
on. I want to expect better. To me, better lies within the creators themselves. They have the ideas. They have the opportunity to exploit those ideas.
Yeah.
If they can't exploit those ideas on table or on broadcast TV, then they just shouldn't be able to exploit. Then they shouldn't be on television at all,
True.
For lack of a better term.
Well, you know me, I'm still hoping for a season 3 of Stargate Universe someday, right? all right, well, I'm going to actually talk to James. You want to hang on, and I'm going to put you back in the green room for now, okay, Zombie?
I'm going to hang on.
Okay. So, James, so
yes.
Did you watch the Super Bowl last night?
Well, I watched the recording I had of it. I fast-forwarded through all the parts where the guys were running around the field, and I find that pretty boring.
Actually, you know, it's funny because we were watching the game, and I actually was writing. I had a bunch of stuff to do, a bunch of writing to do, and I did not I was kind of keeping one eye on the game, and I wasn't really sure who I was going to be rooting for. And then I figured, well, Technorati is based in San Francisco, and so they pay the bills, not of the radio show, but of my life. And so I figured I should root for the sort of home team, which is where my, you know, where our company resides. So, but I, but the, and it was actually a pretty fair game considering it, you know, it was so lopsided. But the commercials were it. So were you impressed by any of the commercials?
I mean, I feel like the last 4, 5, 6 years, every
yeah.
year I'm like, there's a couple of good ones, but overall I'm like, yeah, it's not as good as it used to be. But then
yeah.
I start to wonder, now that it's been so many years, was it ever good, or do we just kind of trick ourselves into believing that?
You know, there are a couple of commercials that sort of wow us, like the first GoDaddy commercial years ago. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that was before,
oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, before we all knew GoDaddy was like, and now they're like, you know, a conglomerate dominating the internet. I mean, if you want a domain, you have to go to GoDaddy.
Nah, I went to Squarespace.
Oh, well, okay, that's fine. I have my domain. My domain is a GoDaddy. So this is not a commercial endorsement because there's plenty wrong with GoDaddy. But unless GoDaddy wants to buy airtime on the show, I'm more than happy to accommodate them. They're not sponsoring the show. So, that Apple commercial, you know, that infamous Apple commercial from the first Macintosh
mm-hmm.
way back in the day. You know, there are some that really stand out, and there are commercials that try to get that. And I was watching the commercials last night, and I was like, yeah, I wasn't that impressed with any of them. And I was thinking, you know me, and I'm a big Robert Carlyle fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to see a really brilliant commercial, like, and I understand that it was never intended to be a commercial, but one for like internal use at the company. He did a thing for Johnny Walker.
Hmm.
That's like a 4 minute, I think it's either 4 or 6 minute, something like that. And it is a single take. And it's brilliant. I mean, his timing and picking up props, he's walking through the Scottish Highlands and kind of giving the history of Johnny Walker. And it is absolutely brilliant. They did something like 49 takes before they
Whoa.
Got one and it's like, but it's a single take. So it's like the camera is just on and there are no breaks and there's no editing on it. It's like a one take. And it is brilliant. It's won all kinds of awards, and it is on the internet. And I think anyone who appreciates really fabulous long form type commercials should watch it. And it's
mm-hmm.
on YouTube. You can find it. All you have to do is Google his name and Johnny Walker and YouTube, and you'll find it. But it's you've got to see it, James. It is quite brilliant. But yeah, I mean, I wasn't. You know, I always watch the Super Bowl for the commercials, and I was not impressed. I just didn't. My husband and I were sort of like, eh. You know, it's like, oh, here came one of the the really controversial ones, and it was like, so why was this controversial?
Oh, exactly. They're just. I mean, the only one I might remember next week is the Clydesdale one. And I know there's been a million Clydesdale ones, but that one got to me a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I missed that one.
Really? Oh, they actually had a one-week-old Clydesdale that they used for the film at the very beginning. And it was, you know, the guy raised the Clydesdale, and
yeah.
then it went off to Budweiser and pulled the wagon. And then years later, the Budweiser Clydesdales are coming to town, and he goes to watch him in the parade, and as he's turning to walk away, the horse chases him down. You know, it's one of those, like, purposely pulling on the heartstrings sappy junk.
Yeah.
But it was touching.
Well, of course, you know, one of the ones that stick in my mind, and it's probably from before you were born, you know, I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. That one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd like to buy the world a Coke.
Yes.
You know, that was kind of a 70s, you know, and I remember that one. I mean, there are commercials that you remember, and last night did not have any. And you know, what it does, oh, and what about that power failure?
Oh, so many jokes at the expense of that on the Twitter. TV Line today ran like the top 10 conspiracy theories on why the power went out. And I guess Revolution's Twitter feed jumped on it right away. Like, this is just a taste of what you're going to get in March.
You
so,
know,
so many clever people.
It's funny because if I was thinking that if it was on NBC,
mm-hmm.
I was thinking, oh, it's a Revolution promo. But it was on Uh-oh. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, are you here? Oh, you've dropped out there for a second.
Oh, sorry.
Weirdness. See, it happened. Oh, my gosh. That must be a conspiracy because you dropped out just as we were talking about the seller.
They don't want me to reveal. I know who did it. And the answer is.
Who did it? Who did it? The answer is, oh, it's all gone black.
Yeah, that was probably the most exciting thing about the entire night.
Well, you know, it's funny. When it first happened and, like, things were kind of chaotic, and I was like, wow, the picture's, like, really dark. Is our TV going?
They were talking on the news today, and you get the people who's like, I was just trying not to panic. And I'm like, the lights are out. Why would you panic? But then they brought up, you know, the people that were there during Katrina and watching the roof get ripped off. And I'm like, okay, in that one city, in this one particular time, I guess, panicking is not completely out of the realm.
Right. Absolutely. So that kind of leads me to where I wanted to go with this, which was, of course, Elementary was on right mm-hmm. after the Super Bowl. And you had posted an article yesterday on Blog Critics that mm-hmm. kind of like, wow, James the Prophet.
Not a pure coincidence. This is something I've ranted about many times over, and it just happened to be my column, and it could not have worked out more perfect, I'm terrible at predicting things. So
what was your premise? What was your premise? Tell us.
Well, I was just writing about that I am sick to death of sports over running. I mean, it used to happen with the Fox cartoons, which not that big a deal, but now I love The Good Wife. And every week, you know, football pushes it a half hour late, and it drives me insane. And I knew it was going to push Elementary late. Of course, they don't schedule enough time for the football game.
Right.
And I don't understand in 2013 how they haven't figured this out yet.
Yeah, and of course, what happens is your TV, like you said in the article,
mm-hmm.
I have an expensive TiVo Premiere.
Yeah. Cord four shows at once, so it's $300 in HD.
Yeah, right. One of those. And
yep.
You would think, so I turned on Elementary because, you know, I write a weekly column about Elementary, which, by the way, guys, take a look at. It's on Blog Critics or on letstalktv.barbarabarnett.com. So I always record it because I like to watch it twice in a row, once to watch it and once to go back and say, okay, that's what they were doing or whatever, so I could write a decent commentary. Because as you know, those of you who read me, I generally don't recap anything because my mind doesn't work that way. I find the odd angles and things that resonate with me and go from there. So my recaps aren't really recaps. They're not really reviews. They're really commentaries. And I really have to watch an episode more than once to really kind of get it down. So here I am. I'm watching it. And all of a sudden I saw the little red light go off. And I'm like, and then I realized, oh, it thinks that it's 10 o'clock, which it was, and it thinks the news is on and Elementary is over. So I hit the record button, and now it's recording again.
Mm-hmm.
And it went off at 10:30. Why? Because the news was over.
Because you did a manual recording of the news.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it totally screwed up. So I have bits and pieces of Elementary on three separate recordings. So when I wrote my review late last night, I did not have the benefit of having watched it more than once, which kind of bummed me out. But CBS was great because they put the show up on their site like early this morning. So by 9 o'clock this morning, it was up there on CBS's website. So you can actually watch the entire Elementary from last night, which was great. So you were kind of ranting about, you know, how it would bump into Elementary. So what did you think about last night's Elementary?
I liked it a lot. I heard complaints about this morning, and so I came home from work, and I'm like, oh, okay. They went with lowest common denominator to appeal to the masses. They just gave us a case of the week. And then I turned it on, and I'm like, oh, wait, that's not what this is. This
no.
is pretty interesting.
No.
I don't know why there were complaints. It kind of annoyed me. I guess it's people who don't watch the show or didn't understand the show or were expecting that case
yeah.
of the week and didn't get it very much.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because Thursday's episode, I thought, was kind of a case of the week.
Oh, yeah, it was.
It was, you know, very much a standalone, and I didn't actually write because I knew it was going to be on tonight. I didn't want to write three episode commentaries in 1 week. So I'm lazy that way. I also started writing a new novel. I'm taking a novel writing class that I won as a prize for Media Bistro, and I won it as a prize because I wrote a piece for an ebook on it's called Varney the Vampire. It's a mashup of a gothic horror novel. And I wrote a page in it, and it won. And I won this any course I wanted to take from Media Bistro. So I decided to take the novel writing class because I'd been writing a novel. And then I go into the novel writing class, and the teacher says, I said, okay, I've got this novel. It's finished. I'm editing it. This is what I want to do. And she says, well, we really want you to start fresh. And I'm like, what?
Oh, no.
So I am I'm writing a new novel right now. And so I didn't want to write, yes, because I'm trying to figure this all out. Speaking of vampires, have you watched General Hospital? Caleb the Vampire is back in Port Charles. Michael Easton. I've got to connect you with Michael Easton, our heart. Remind me I can do this. I can connect. Michael Easton, we have a common person that I can get. Michael Easton is on General Hospital. Anyway, I didn't want to write three in a row, so I did not write it in a commentary. But the thing is that Elementary last night, to me, and what I said in the very first paragraph of my commentary was, I love it when the show explores Sherlock's psychology and his emotional life, because to me, that's what makes the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's what made House. You know, when I loved House, it wasn't because of the great Patient of the Week episodes, because those don't stand out in my memory particularly. Of course, everything about House stands out in my memory. I wrote a book about it. It's like I've got the show committed to memory, at least through the first six seasons. But what resonated with me was not the Patient of the Week, but the really digging into the mind of House. So, mm-hmm. So what I thought Elementary did really well last night was to tap into Sherlock's biggest fear, was that, yeah, he got a big scare when he got addicted and got self-destructive, but is that the end of it? And
mm-hmm.
when it comes out that this profiler had really done a kind of a hatchet job on him, on his psyche by, you know, suggesting that he was doomed to self-annihilation. And she was right about that, was therefore, you know, is she right about this? And the way they explored his psyche was, of course, through the serial killer who she also profiled and had done a hatchet job on that as well, because it led to a suicide, one of his parents committing suicide because she had claimed, theorized sex abuse by one of the parents, and that really pushed the parents over the edge. And then it turns out, of course, that she had confabulated things and made it all up, and which was very unprofessional, unscrupulous, and unethical. When she got stabbed by the sister, I was like,
that shocked me. I did not see that coming at all.
I did not see that coming, but I was almost like, yeah, wow.
I kind of wish she died right there though, because that would have been really unexpected and interesting. And
yeah.
And I feel like, I mean, I'm kind of torn because I like Carrie Matchett, and I feel like she'll probably return again, and that's a good thing for Sherlock, but at the same time, it would have been so just a great twist to kill her off. That's not what I would have seen coming on Sherlock.
Yeah, well, you know, they do pull some they do pull some surprising things. And the episode M that aired a few weeks ago, I thought, really, I mean, you and I have talked about this. That episode, mm-hmm. to me, went into Dexter territory.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it really turned Sherlock into, you know, it's like we always think of, you know, James Bond superhero. But in fact, James Bond in Ian Fleming's novels was a paid assassin, essentially. You know, he was mm-hmm. no better morally than the people he assassinated. And, you know, we have here Sherlock Holmes really quite willing to torture his nemesis, granted, who killed Irene Adler, he thinks,
mm-hmm.
but perfectly willing to see him be tortured and to die, no matter what it costs him personally.
Yeah.
And it's very unusual, I think, for a TV series to go there with mm-hmm. their hero, especially a hero as iconic as Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, and that wasn't just an isolated incident either. I mean, like, last night's episode, when he confronted the killer one-on-one and didn't even tip off the police until...
Yep.
You know, a while. I know it's not the same motivation necessarily, and it's not the same extreme that the M episode was, but it still has that bit of riskiness where he's not even putting his own well-being ahead of
right.
his puzzle. And
right.
he's a loose cannon. There's a reason that the police are being a little uncomfortable working with him at this
yeah.
point.
Yeah, he's a really damaged character. And also the reason why Watson is very – why she's really so very concerned for his well-being. Because
what do you think of the theory that he's the one that hired her and not his father?
Ooh.
And that he knows – I've heard this floating around recently – and that he knows that she's lied about the extension because she's never actually been in contact with his father. It's always been him.
You know, that's actually a really interesting theory.
Because it could explain how he set her up with the fake dinner thing, and
mm-hmm.
he could even be behind the porn movie at her place, and he could be manipulating her this entire time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's something that House would have done.
Oh, absolutely. And but as soon as somebody said that, I'm like, if the writers don't pursue that, they're stupid, because that's perfect.
Yeah, you know,
get a way to get a betrayal in there and reset the characters for season two.
Yeah, I mean that would be a really interesting reveal at the end of the season that he was mm-hmm. the one who hired her because he really felt he needed that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he didn't want to admit it to anyone. I mean, this is what I love about the show. This is what makes it so different than BBC's Sherlock, or makes it so different than the movie series. Is really about, you know, what is Elementary about? Elementary is about Sherlock Holmes. And
mm-hmm.
can't really say that of the BBC. I mean, it's not about the character of Sherlock Holmes. To me, as I said before, Sherlock Holmes is the biggest puzzle of all.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I really, really enjoy about the show is that it really gets to that. And I thought that last night's episode did a really, and I was reading some of the reviews this morning saying, oh, that was so disappointing, and it was just kind of a conventional formulaic thing. And I'm like, really? Did we really watch the same episode? Because
I think they've got that CBS procedural mindset that they weren't
yeah.
looking for anything else.
Yeah, and I think that that's it. And, you know, I interviewed Rob Dougherty a couple months ago, and, you know, I had said to him, I said, you know, is this a really an intent, you know, is this intentional on your part to really kind of go against that idea of the procedural and really make this a character study? And he said, yeah, definitely that's a part of it, you know, to make it as much a character study as it is a procedural. And it has to fit into that signature CBS police procedural thing. On the other hand, you know, and I think that's, and I keep comparing House with Elementary, and there are commonalities. I mean, a couple of the writers from House are now writers on Elementary as well. But there are similarities because, like Elementary, House was a character study. It used this sort of formula, you know, medical procedural formula, or police procedural formula, because it was really a puzzle and getting to the, you know, with the disease as being sort of the villain of the week, the killer of the week, and that was the structure, you know, the meat of it was really the character study, and I thought that that Elementary does that extremely well. I think it's still finding its footing, but I'm so thrilled that it's doing well. And you know what I've been seeing is a lot of people who love the BBC Sherlock show that have kind of thumbing their noses at Elementary beginning of the season, saying, "Oh, I don't want to watch this because, you know, it's derivative, it's this, and why should there be that?" And, you know, we love Benedict Cumberbatch and, you know, and Martin Freeman, and we don't really care. And there's a Watson who's a female, and Johnny Lee Miller is a poseur, you know. And I'm reading all this, and I'm like, well, you know, I like the BBC Sherlock, but it is formulaic. It is classic Sherlock Holmes cases. And I thought, you know, there's room for other stuff. And the show is really – it's really very, very different. And Katie says in the chat room, I can see similarities between House and Elementary, given some of the writers on House are writers on Elementary, so it's not surprising. Although, in talking to Peter Blake, who's one of the writers on Elementary, I knew I was going to do that at some point, on Elementary, and who is an executive producer on House, and a writer, said really Rob Dougherty is the writer. He like David Shore did, sees everything, and Rob Dougherty is really involved in the writing of every episode. Arhart says, I'm going to need to watch the show. Yes, you must, Chrissy. You have to watch the show. So it was really great. I want to talk a little bit about, by the way, I apologize last week for the crazy, insane, weird echoey thing that happened. It was a technical glitch on the Blog Talk Radio site, and I apologize for that. You and Jerry sort of got caught in that. Jerry Weaver got caught in that. So hopefully it won't happen again because we're getting to that. It was at the 2-minute mark, so hopefully we get through the 2-minute mark and it'll be 2 minutes to go, Mark, and we'll be good. You wanted to talk about Community last week.
Oh, I do. I'm so glad. Well, it's almost October 19th. I mean, normally October 19th falls between October 18th and October 17th. But NBC mixed it up this year and scheduled October 19th to fall between February 6th and February 8th.
Huh,
so I've been waiting for Community's season premiere on October 19th for several months longer than I thought I would need to.
Why do you think they delayed it?
I think because their Thursday night lineup wasn't doing what they wanted, and a lot of people expected Guys with Kids to get canceled and it would get the Wednesday slot,
mm-hmm.
and that didn't happen. And then, I don't know, I felt like they just decided, let's put it back on Thursdays. And for that, they had to wait till 30 Rock ended. So it was kind of a scheduling of jumbling all their shows around. I don't know. There's a million reasons why it could have happened. I just think that the October 19th video thing was one of the most brilliant things I've seen in forever.
Cool.
Whether like October 19th is a state of mind.
Yes, indeed it is. Now, I haven't seen it yet, so I'm going to have to watch that and check it out.
You haven't seen the show at all?
No, I haven't. You know what?
Oh.
I lead such an incredibly insane life.
Yeah.
You know, between my responsibilities of blog critics and following the shows I do and writing books and all kinds of other weird stuff, it's like trying to find the time to watch TV, except for the shows that I specifically follow. I think that's kind of the advantage I have of not being a conventional TV critic, is
mm-hmm.
that I don't have to watch Everything.
Everything. I watch what I want.
Let
me warn you about Community, because the first season, if you turn it on, and I had the worst time getting into it, it just seems like the dumbest sitcom about these kids of this community college that is not the least bit interesting. And if you just stick it out about halfway through the first season, it finds its groove, and now they do so many interesting and original and really neat and out there geeky conventions. I mean, they've done a Claymation episode. They've done an alternate time stream episode where they get through 7 time streams in the half an hour because of one event. They've done, like, these massive 2-part paintball war epic things. They've done an 8-bit episode where they're all in a video game, like Atari style. It's just a really, really cool thing. Once it gets going, it just takes time to get there.
Huh. All right. So maybe I'll start watching it sort of like mid-season one.
Yeah. I mean, it's currently my favorite comedy on television. So it earns the title eventually, but that first season starts a little rough.
So have you caught any of Continuum, talking about shows that start with a C?
I watched the first episode.
Yeah,
and I've TiVo'd the rest since then, but the first episode made me so mad, I haven't been enthusiastic to watch anymore.
What made you mad about it?
Well, the opening in the future was so cool and so well done and really opened up this entire world that I wanted to explore about the fall of government and capitalism taking over. And then they fall back in time, and it looks like it's going to be a standard police procedural set in 2012.
Yeah,
and that's what really killed me.
I know. That's really, I agree. I'm going to actually try to have William B. Davis on the show, who's in Continuum, who, of course, those of you who remember the X-Files, he was the cigarette-smoking man in the X-Files, and I'm going to try to have him on. He's in Continuum playing, you know, the kid who's in the 2012 part?
Mm-hmm.
That's
his older version?
Yeah, I think that's who he is. So I'm going to try to have him on. We have in common the same publisher. So I'm going to try to get him on via our mutual publicist at ECW Press. So that should be kind of fun. I want to talk a little bit, tiny little bit, about Once Upon a Time. We'll talk about Once Upon a Time much more next week because the new episode of Once Upon a Time airs Sunday night, the episode Tiny, which guest stars our famous giant, our favorite giant, Jorge Garcia. They brought him back.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. And so that should be great fun. And with Emma and Gold
and
traveling.
Cassidy Freeman.
Huh?
Cassidy Freeman's playing Jack.
Yes.
If you're a Smallville fan, you will know who she is.
Yes. It's a great cast.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a great episode, I think. And then, so we'll talk about that. And then the week after that, of course, Manhattan airs, which is the one that everyone's kind of anticipating. It takes place in New York, and we have the return of Neil Cassidy, and Jane Espenson said on this very show 2 weeks ago that it is one of the finest TV 45 minutes she has ever seen on paper. So,
Is every Neil Cassidy episode going to be named after a different city?
I'm sorry?
Is every Neil Cassidy episode, do you think, going to be named after a different city?
That could be. That could very well be. I don't know. I hadn't thought about that. Tallahassee and now Manhattan. That's possible.
She's a traveler, so, you know.
She is a traveler. She's been a bit of a nomad. So I was kind of looking. I don't want to be too random here, but I was kind of looking. So we'll talk more about Once Upon a Time next week, but and hope you'll be back on the show next week. Maybe you and Jerry and me can talk more next week.
Okay.
But I wanted to talk also next week about pilot season and kind of go through some of the pilots and see what looks good and what looks really boring. And I know you have different opinions about stuff than I do. But I noticed that coming up on ABC, David Shore has a new series, a pilot that was greenlit, called Doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Cast to be announced, a legal drama focused on a former cop who is now a cunning but charming low-rent lawyer who uses his street smarts to work the system for his clients while battling his own demons and wooing his ex-wife.
Hmm.
Sounds good.
I got so into the pilot season these last couple of years, and then so many of the shows that you want to see never make it to air. That I'm just
know.
Like, eh, what's the point of even following it until you know what's actually going to be on TV?
I know, but you know what? David Shore has so much clout.
Oh, yeah, he's probably one of the more likely ones, but...
So I think he definitely has a possibility here. I see in the chat room, gosh, they're talking about Seattle and San Diego. Could they be talking about Comic-Con? Oh, they're talking about names of cities. Because I was thinking, oh, Seattle, okay, that's where my daughter lives. I love Seattle. And San Diego, of course, is where Comic-Con, the big Comic-Con. There's, of course, the Seattle Comic-Con, which is called Emerald City Comic-Con. And I think Chrissy's going to that. Because she lives in Seattle, and I'm going to Comic-Con in San Diego. Yeah, she says, yes, I'll be there. And, of course, I'm going to San Diego Comic-Con this July. And, by the way, guys, tickets go on sale for San Diego Comic-Con, drum roll, February 16th, Saturday morning, bright and early.
Make a great Valentine's present for your sweetie.
Yeah, but you have to be really dedicated because those tickets are going to go in about 5 minutes. There will be no tickets left.
Mm.
I'm really, really glad that I don't have to do that. I don't have to go through that. I'm all excited. I can't wait till the hotels begin to be offered, and I want to get my hotel set up and this year I am going to be staying in the Gaslight District. I know it now, so I know that's where you're supposed to stay. So I can't wait till Comic-Con. There are going to be a lot of really cool things. I would guess that if Crossbones is it, by the way, you know, Crossbones, which according to rumor is going to be starring Hugh Laurie, is already on CBS's press site as a guy.
Really?
Yeah. If you go on the CBS press site, not CBS, I'm sorry, NBC press site, you can click on Crossbones, and there's actually a page for it. So
cool.
It is not a pilot. It is a done deal. Now, it's a short form, so I believe it is, I want to say 13 episodes or 11 episodes or 8 episodes. It's a short form. It's not a... a long form, you know, 22 episode multi-season thing. And as you guys know, if you've been following the news on it, Crossbones tells the story of Blackbeard the pirate in the Caribbean in the 1700s or 1600s or something like that. And theoretically stars Hugh Laurie. So I'm looking forward to that. But they'll probably, if it's a go, they'll probably be at Comic-Con as well. So there'll be a lot of cool things. And I will keep everybody informed about what's going to be at Comic-Con as the weeks and months go on. I want to wrap up by asking you all, please, if you like this show, please follow us. Please tell your friends. Please like us. Follow me on Twitter. At B_Barnett. And where can they follow you, Jerome Wetzel TV?
At Jerome Wetzel TV on Twitter or go to JeromeWetzel.com.
And where can they find you on the web?
JeromeWetzel.com. It's got my everything. It has a link to your podcast as well as every site I write for and everything I do.
Aw, that's great. So, guys, check us out, and you can check me out at blogcritics.org. Just click on my name. I'm the executive editor along with John Sobel. And that will take you to my writer page there where I have published, 600 plus articles since 2007. Or check me out at letstalktv.barbarabarnett.com. And if you think of it and you haven't gotten it yet, please do try to pick up a copy of my book on the series House, Chasing Zebras, The Unofficial Guide to House MD, available at Amazon.com and everywhere books are sold. So that wraps up another Let's Talk TV Live. Thank you so much for coming on, Jimmy.
Oh, always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Well, take care, and I will talk to you soon and see you on Twitter.
Okay.
All right. See you all later. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Good night until tomorrow night. Come on back to talk about house. Take care. Good night.